It's over. It's all over. The drought. The dam wall is busted. It's 62 long years.
Cronulla have won it. Cronulla have won it. 14-12.
It's over! Cleveland is a city of champions once again! The Cavaliers are NBA champions!
For all your sports news, reviews and interviews, you listen to the Sports Desk here on Sin.
Good morning, this is the Sports Desk with Liam and Caleb here. And if you know something different about it, it's just Caleb reliving his Bulldogs glory of 2016.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. I put in the 2016 intro there just because footy season's coming up and I wanted to get a little bit excited. And, you know, Western Bulldogs being premiers, getting called by Dennis Cometti always gets me pretty excited.
Yes, and come next on Friday, they'll be playing the 2015 intro.
And they're not working our way all the way back to 2000 and...
What? Whenever since started, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We should bring it up. We are running the text line all this morning. So if you have any ideas or any opinions, there's so much sport going on at the moment and so many big controversial things happening, you can flick us a text on 0447 519 170. That number is 0447 519 170. Flick us a text. Give us what your thoughts are on David Warner. We're going to be talking about that a little bit later. And
yes, and a bit of AFL, a bit of sport. Make sure we got a special mention to your favourite sport, hockey.
Yeah, for all the hockey fans out there, text us through. Tell us what you thought about the Aussies win in Aslan Shah overnight. But let's jump straight into it. Yes. AFL Women's on the weekend. Western Bulldogs won, which is fantastic.
They are pretty much a win or draw away from a grand final, so they are looking pretty good, the Doggies are.
They're sitting firmly on top of the ladder at the moment. Below them are Brisbane, which they're probably looking the most likely to join the Dogs in that illustrious grand final. But any other teams that you think would, well, maybe Melbourne?
On Monday, I said Brisbane Bulldogs, where Ben said Melbourne Bulldogs.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, I feel like it's a bit too early for the two OG teams to go at it.
Yeah. It'll be like the exhibition matches. Like,
I feel like
it,
that's a grand final that maybe 10 years in the making.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be good to see. GWS, if GWS can get up over the Bulldogs, they're right in the hunt.
That's it.
And
that's
Adelaide
a huge
as well, a real smoky, but maybe Evans might being out. Depends how the quad is.
Yeah, I think I like the idea of GWS. GWS obviously had a tumultuous 2017 season. Mm. What a story if they, so they're currently sitting at 2 wins, 2 losses and a draw, and so are Adelaide, so on the exact same amount of points.
And they should be kicking themselves, really. They're leading against Melbourne pretty much until the death. They played one bad game against Carlton.
Yeah.
Got over Colin quite easily, and they should have defeated Adelaide as well.
Yeah, they're having a huge season on the back of, I think, Ferugia and...
Alice Eva.
Alice Eva is having an incredible season, and Collingwood would be absolutely kicking themselves that they let her go. But another player that I've been really impressed with is Courtney Gumm.
Yeah, same.
I thought she was really, really impressive on the weekend. I would love to see GWS and Dogs grand final. I think there's already a rivalry in the men's. Why can't there be one in the women's?
Which is
as well?
Good. That's something for a completely different day, but I'll clearly say now. I remember starting last year where they tried to force, I think, Kilda Melbourne rivalry because they're, you know, both coming up at the same time.
Yeah.
Where the Doggies GWS rivalry has been a natural thing.
That's it.
Naturally brewing. You know, how is Toby Green going to cheap shot a Doggies player next? You know, can't wait.
Yeah, but I personally can wait. But
if you looked at the paper today, did say Katie Brennan might be back against GWS.
Wow, that'd be huge.
I think if she's ready to go and Doggies are pretty much in the grand final, I would rest her.
Yeah, I think it's pretty safe if they rested her. I don't think there's any reason to rush her back, but... I don't know. I feel like over the last 2 weeks, they've proved that they can do it without Katie Brennan.
And let's face it, Ali Blackburn's had more captain experience with the Doggies than Brennan has anyway.
Correct, yeah. It's pretty awesome. And, Ali Blackburn, again, played an outstanding game on the weekend, had 17 disposals, 4 clearances and a goal. So it's almost been a blessing in disguise. It's placed all of this leadership expectation on Ellie Blackburn. She's risen up to the challenge.
Well, she won the best and first last year. Mm-hmm. I think she tied with... Carney,
Carney,
that's it, yes. And who I think both of them probably in line to win the Best and Fairest Award.
Yeah.
Which should be the Susan Alberti Award.
Yeah.
But I don't know why. I just think
Susan Alberti gate on the weekend. Yeah. I don't want to...
Because she's a pioneer of women's football. I don't know why hasn't named the Best and Fairest over Susan Alberti.
So you're talking about the...
Yeah, the Best
and Fairest. The league Best and Fairest. Ah, okay. Yeah, I could get behind that.
I don't think... and that's one thing I think I did post that on Twitter, and Susan Alberti liked that comment. So I think she agrees that she should be the name of it.
Good, good, good.
But she probably wouldn't be allowed into the awards night.
That's it. If Peter Gordon has anything to do with it. For those that don't know, the infamous 2 weekends ago, Susan Alberti wasn't let into the exclusive area at Witten Oval. Security guards turned down. It just turned into this massive... I think it's still going with Peter Gordon refusing to apologise for not letting her in because she wasn't on the list.
If she wasn't on the list, she wasn't on the list.
I don't know. I think if you're a security guard at a Western Bulldogs match and you don't know who Susan Alberti is... I don't really know whether you should be a security guard at the Western Bulldogs match.
Don't get me wrong. It was a weird situation. Probably shouldn't have happened. But God, Caroline Wilson was terrible saying he was a sexist agenda.
I don't know. I reckon there's a lot more to it. I don't think Susan Alberti would have come out and kicked up a fuss over that. I reckon there's a long-standing feud going on between the two, and that was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah. But also, Ethan Wood wasn't allowed in. You seem to forget that as well. Ethan Wood wasn't allowed into the thing.
True. Let's,
we've got more teams to talk about, yes.
Well, one thing that I really enjoyed watching on the weekend, Collingwood versus Dogs, was, Monique Conti taking on Chloe Malloy. Monique Conti was pick number 3 and went to the Western Bulldogs. Chloe Malloy was pick number 2, and went to Collingwood. They've both been nominated for Rising Stars, and I'd say that they'd both probably be the front runners for the award.
Because they have 2 winners, don't they?
2 winners every week, but, do they have it 2 at the end of the season?
I'm pretty sure they do. I know Ebony Marinoff won last year. I'm pretty sure someone else won it.
Oh, okay. I didn't realise that.
I'm not 100% sure. I think maybe 2 LA players won.
Oh, cool.
And Ben said on Monday, and I agree, I think Malloy should be a natural forward.
Yeah.
She pretty much turned the game on its head in that last quarter. You probably got a bit nervous there.
I did. She, because she obviously normally plays in the back line and offers a bit. Maybe it's more what Collingwood need. I don't know whether they've got Mo Hope and Bernardi up in the forward line. So maybe Chloe Malloy is there simply because of circumstance and they need her off the halfback line. But, gosh, she looked good in the forward line. And maybe if they recruit this off-season for some defenders, be a dangerous...
Oh, it's going to be tough, though, with North Melbourne and Geelong joining as well. So they'll probably get the GWS Gold Coast stream and get most of the players. As well as, I think, Phoebe McWilliams. No, not Phoebe McWilliams. Rachel Cranston will head to Geelong. She's a Geelong girl.
Yeah.
Plays for their VFL team. And Worcester for Brisbane, who's from Tasmania, will probably go to join North Melbourne since they're playing half and half.
Yeah, it makes sense. I'd completely almost forgot that there's 2 teams coming in next year. It's going to be a very interesting offseason.
Let's see how they also do the fixture with. They've got to do a final. You can't just do the top 2 teams now. It has to be a final. It should be a final this year. Now another big news as well is the Collingwood captain Kiyoshi.
Yeah,
being banned for 2 weeks, which I disagree with the fact that Darcy got 2 weeks for what I still think was a disgusting act in round 1.
Yeah, the round 1 where she kicked one of the Carlton players in the groin, which wasn't a great look for the game. But I 100% agree with you. I think Chiocci's been pretty hard done by here. She had she bent down and bumped Libby Birch, the Western Bulldogs defender, in the head. She put up this horrific photo on Instagram of her big black eye that she'd received from it. But in the men's, I've made this point before that in the men's, 2 weeks is probably fair, but 2 weeks in the females, that's almost, 1/4 of the season gone. So,
pretty much, yeah.
It's a huge loss, and unfortunately, that's the rest of the season. That's her season done, and she was having some great form, Steph Chiocci was.
Oh, she was. She was leading from the front, and that's why she's captain, of course. You do look at teams. You look at how you can't underestimate how important captains are to a team.
Correct.
Like I said, I think the reason why Doggies are doing so well this year is the experience Blackburn learnt from last year with Kay Brennan being out. Something Carlton's struggling with this year now could also finish last. A very big possibility without Bree Davies. You know, when Frio gets up and firing is when Cara Dolan plays. Faruga won the match drew the match for GWS last week.
Yeah, and we all know how big Daisy Pearce on the weekend before I jump into my vote, she's obviously slotted in there, but she was huge. Incredible. Like, she...
Start of the game. That's how you want to start the game. Kicks two goals.
Yep.
And I did say, I also said on Monday, ago that annoying Chemist Warehouse ad, that kid that goes up and goes, excuse me, can I have your autograph?
Yeah.
When you kicked those last two, when you kicked that last goal, that was epic. Even though she never kicked a goal. Well, she kicked one goal until that point.
Classic.
So at least she kind of kicked a winning goal. It wasn't the last goal, but at least it was kind of a winning goal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
Votes for the weekend, who'd you give yours to?
I gave my one vote to Ellie Blackburn.
Yep.
Again, I thought she was fantastic on the weekend. Kicked a nice goal.
Mm-hmm.
Her scoring isn't as dominant as it was last year, though.
No.
But she's gotten a lot more of the ball, and I think, like I said, I think she's a much better leader this year than she was last year.
Yep.
Granted, she's only, I think, 22.
Wow.
So she's very young, and like I said, her or, stuffed up her name again. Carney.
Emma Carney, yeah.
Yep. Probably would be the winner of the Best and Fairest Award at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
With Lachlan probably going to win the Women's Goal Kicking Award. So it's going to be all
7 goals last week. Yeah.
All Bulldogs this year. Number two is Chelsea Randall. Probably the best player this season, despite the fact that she won't win. She's a backman, so she probably won't win the Best and Fairest Award.
Mm-hmm.
Probably most underrated player of the season.
Yep, I think that's a fair call.
Shadow of a doubt. The reason why Adelaide's probably still like, apart from Phillips 4 goals against the Doggies in their win, Chelsea Randall has been absolutely rock solid for that team.
Yeah.
And three, of course, goes to come off the moment, come off the champion, Daisy Pierce. Had a really shocking week last week against Collingwood. Stood up, kicked 2 goals and set the tone for the game.
Big time.
I had a few stiffies, though. No, I did not.
Keep going, please. Just move on.
I had a few, there was a few people that was tough to miss out. I had Courtney Gum originally in my top three, but she went out last minute. And Sabrina Frederick-Traub, who I do think will be one of the best players in the competition a few years ago. But they were both really unlucky to miss out. But yeah, they were my three picks.
Interesting that you put in Sabrina Frederick-Traub because she got my one vote, even though she was in a losing team. Her stats are 3 goals, 15 disposals, and 3 big marks. I thought it was, even though Brisbane lost, I couldn't leave her out. Ellie Blackburn got the 2 votes for me, 17 disposals, 4 clearances, and a goal. And, of course, Daisy Pierce got 3 votes, 24 disposals, 5 clearances, and 2 goals.
Let's jump straight into the AFL, the JLT, as we'll preview later on, the game tonight. But let's start things off straight away with the big news that came out last Friday with James Hurd possibly, Fremantle, approaching AFL about approaching James Hurd.
Yeah.
About a part-time job. He will stay in Melbourne, so he won't actually move to Perth. But a job at Fremantle.
It's pretty interesting. So they're potentially going to hire him as an analyst.
Mm.
So a Victorian analyst gets to stay in Melbourne and just analyse Victorian clubs. And it's led to lots of, I think it was Alistair Clarkson just being like, it'd be the equivalent of, it was something like, I can't even remember, but
I think it was Lee Matthews that said it. Yeah,
but it was
Einstein being like a science thing. Yeah,
yeah, Einstein being a science professor. But it's just obviously he's hugely overqualified. But are we ready to welcome him back after he put the game in such disrepute back in 2013 with the drug saga? 2012, sorry, feels like that long ago.
Well, I know when he presented the Norm Smith Medal, there's a lot of hoo ha, but that went off about a hitch, really. But personally, I don't think he should be allowed back, to be honest. Like, I just think what he did, but granted, you know, Mark Thompson was also a part of that, ended up coaching Essendon now. Another player, and a few other people who were part of it are still around, but I think what he did was unforgivable, really. I don't think he should ever be allowed back at Essendon, as much as Essendon probably wouldn't mind him coming back. I think it ruined, like, Joe Watson's love of football. A few players' love of football.
Yep.
What happened there? It just absolutely killed Essendon for a while.
But I think the thing is that he has already been welcomed back by the AFL. Mm. So he served out his 1-year ban and then he came back and then he was sacked from Essendon because of on-field performances. So technically, I think obviously, like, he will be welcomed back by the AFL, but I don't think the fans are as ready to welcome him back because the saga dragged on for a lot longer than when he left. And it was really sad last year to hear about his drug overdose when he went into the hospital. Mm. So maybe, like, maybe him coming back into the AFL might be a good thing for him and for his health.
Well, the only positive I see about this is he's not in the limelight, so he won't be front and centre of things.
Mm.
Like, I doubt he'll probably never coach again.
Yeah.
But if he's... maybe because he's going to the team I support.
Yeah.
And, you know, I personally wouldn't want anything what happened with Essendon to happen to my team. I'm pretty sure you're the same.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit sceptical kind of thing. It's like, would you date someone that cheated that you know has a history of cheating?
Right, fair
enough.
You know,
you always be conscious that, you know, they have this history.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he's not in charge of, you know, any sports management or sports science.
It. He's only an analyst, so I think there's a lot less of risk that he's going to, run some drug scheme.
And at the end of the day, it's up to the club, Freer wants to take the risk, and apparently there's another club looking at him as well.
Yeah, I can't remember which club it was, but I don't think they ever said. Because Freer wasn't the first one to do it.
So if Freer do get him, it's the risk they put on themselves. Mm-hmm. If he backfires and he does something terrible, it's all on them.
Yep.
And if he works out well and helps them out again, it's one of those damn, you know, if it works out, you're a genius. If it's not, you're an idiot.
Exactly. Toby Green was signed to a 6-year rumoured $6 million deal yesterday. I've got written down here, you're a Fremantle boy. If you could lock away one player at your club for that long, who would it be? And why is it Harley Bunnell?
Oh, definitely.
Nah. Who would you lock away for 6 years?
Who would I lock away for 6 years? That's tough considering Fife last year already got locked away for 6 years.
Yeah, fair enough.
Ooh, that's a good one. I would say... Connor Blakely.
Yeah, fair enough.
Pretty much a David Mundy clone.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, he's a David Mundy clone. I think David Mundy's probably been Freer's most important player for the last few years.
Yep.
What about you for the Doggies?
Well, locked away last year, but locking away for longer for me is Jason Johannesson.
JoJo.
The obvious one might have been Marcus Bontempelli, and it's probably stiff, but I think JJ just, his pace offers so much, and his flexibility going back to
forward. So not Tom Boyd?
Forward.
Josh Shackey?
Locked him away for long enough. Nah, they're right. But if you have someone from your club that you would think you'd like to lock away for 6 years, maybe you're a Collingwood fan and you want to see Darcy Moore locked away for another six, text us through 0447-519-170 and tell us who you'd want to lock away.
And if you're a Geelong fan and you want to go out but locked away for 6 years?
Yeah, play till he's 40 or something.
I'm talking about contracts, actually. We just read before that Richmond are looking to get Tom Lynch, but so is every Victorian club, so really no big deal there. And Gold Coast saying they're about to offer Tom Lynch a 7-year, like $7 million deal, something like that, a massive deal.
Yep.
I don't know about you, but I think they're going about it the wrong way. Offering, not a big money deal, I think.
So Gold Coast are going about offering Tom Lynch.
Yeah, I think the length of the deal is the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
The money, you know, if you get a $10 million or $5 million 2-year deal, would be quite a lot of money. Someone who says the main thing he's looking at is results. So if Gold Coast looks like they're going to win a flag in the next 5 to 10 years, or Gold Coast looks like they're going to play finals, is his main reason staying.
Yeah.
Again, money would be an issue, of course. But so before the season even starts, wanting to lock this person away on this big, long deal, when he simply said what he wants is results.
Yeah.
I think Jared Harbaugh, no, so Richard Talley came out and said, the only thing they'll get Tom Lynch away is, you know, results.
Yeah.
So
you're saying they should offer him a shorter contract?
Yeah, shorter contract.
And I think that's fair because he is, 25 years old, so
and
he's halfway through his career, you could suggest, and he's got a little bit longer, but he...
And language warning here, but for a year that you're a captain, your best player's out of contract, a real bastard year for Gold Coast, though.
Mm.
The fact that he's such a hard draw for the next, for the first, I think, 10 weeks of not playing at home.
I don't know. Did you see them on the weekend? I thought they looked pretty good.
I said on Monday that even with the big three, Gold Coast would have won.
Yeah, fair enough.
I doubt Geelong would have matched their scoring.
They were outstanding. I thought Aaron Hall was blitzing. He kicked a goal from about 70 metres out.
Aaron Hall starts the season fantastic every year.
Yep.
And he just dies off.
Correct.
But I think Gold Coast's best 22 is a solid 22.
Correct.
It's there after their 22 is an issue.
Mm.
They missed Stephen May, their other captain.
Mm-hmm.
They missed a few good players. Good to see Sam Day back.
Yep.
After his hip injury.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of upside for Gold Coast. I don't think they're going to finish last.
Mm-hmm.
Later on in the month, we'll get to our 2018 predictions.
It's going to be a huge show. Just before the season starts on Wednesday morning, we're going to do a bumper AFL season
preview.
AFL. It's going to be amazing.
let's jump to something that I read a few days ago. We'll just quickly get through this.
Mm-hmm.
The AFL in 2050, about having, I think, 20-plus clubs, none of them will be Tasmania.
Right, yeah.
Players will wear short sleeves, no numbers on the back, of course.
Mm-hmm.
They'll wear a weird type of shirt. One thing I didn't like, they're like, they said that AFL Lakes would pretty much take over.
Right. It's a bit hard to believe at the moment, following what we saw earlier this year, but hey,
yeah.
maybe so in a few years.
Buckley will still be the coach of Collingwood.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be safe to say.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and Bernal still wouldn't get sacked from Fremantle.
Yeah, true. I would like, 2050, it was an article in the Herald Sun, was it? Don't know. Seems like with a lot of the critics of AFL are saying that AFL's going to blow up, but I think it'll stay around for a little while. Previewing the games, because there's one tonight and there is one tomorrow as well. The D's and Saints are taking on each other tonight, and they've both released pretty full-strength sides. Jack Billings comes back for St Kilda, which is awesome and great for Supercoach fans all around, because mm-hmm. I know I've got him in my team. Really keen to see how he plays and see. He had a hamstring injury, so it'll be good to see. Hopefully, he runs out the full game. Other people that are playing that are of note, so number 7 and number 8 draft, or it might be 8 and 9, I can't remember. Hunter Clark and Nick Caulfield.
Hunter Clark was really good against Carlton.
Yeah, they were outstanding. Probably the only real shining light for the Saints.
And McCartan did good.
McCartan, true, yeah. McCartan has been named again. Which is good to see. Good to see they're putting a bit of time in him.
Jake Lever's been named.
Very exciting. And I thought he played well as well. Another player that has also got their spot back is Bailey Fritch, who was a rookie that's been drafted to Melbourne and medium forward, and he was outstanding. Kicked 2 or 3 goals last week. It looked incredibly dangerous.
Medium forwards are very highly, highly underrated.
Mm.
That's one thing I've noticed. You've got the small forwards and the big forwards, but no one talks about the medium forward. Derm was a medium forward.
Right.
I'm not talking about any player to be as good as Derm was.
Yeah, true.
Much better player than he is a commentator.
Yep.
But that's a conversation for another day. But yeah, the medium forwards are very, very underrated.
I should just clarify, tonight, Richmond and North Melbourne are playing, and it was tomorrow night that Melbourne and Saints are playing, but tonight Richmond take on North Melbourne at Icon Park, so... Very interesting to see whether the lights are an issue. Has been a huge talking point for a few weeks in the women's games. But only thing, Richmond Inns are Sam Lloyd, Nathan Broad, Moore and Soldo. So Nathan Broad has come back after his infamous
Interesting that he's not going to play, though, the round... I know he played AFLX, but yeah, he's not going to play round 1, 2 or 3.
Yeah.
And he's in this team.
Yeah.
I know a few players are missing. I know, Dion Pressey is out with Pressey's his hamstring. Out.
Yep. Basha Hooley's not playing as well, and Daniel Rioli's still injured.
Yeah.
Another one that I thought was stiff to miss out was Jack Higgins, who was a first-round draft pick for Richmond. Quite a small player, a bit of like a Caleb Daniel. His skills were elite. But, yeah, he's. I don't know whether they're resting him or whether they just weren't impressed with his game. And then North Melbourne, they're without Mad Jack Dore.
Yeah, don't know why he got dropped.
Thought he played well.
I don't think North Melbourne wants Mad Jack Dore.
Mm.
Like, they never give him a full run.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to see how Luke Davis Uninaki goes. He struggled a bit in the first game.
See, I thought he showed promising signs. I didn't think he was great, but I still think he would have given enough for North Melbourne fans to say, okay, he's going to be good.
I think Billy Hartung showed enough for the North Melbourne
Correct.
Fans. Yeah.
True.
But yeah, it'd be interesting to see. That's going to be a good game, as much as these games are pretty much pointless. but it's good to see a full-strength team, and I can't wait. What I found interesting is that you guys, the Doggies, aren't playing at Wynn and Overlord all this time.
No, we didn't play there last year either, but I think that's part of the push to sort of get into Moe and get into Ballarat, because those are the sort of areas that the Dogs are trying to push into. Let's jump into some NRL, because the season is almost about to start.
Yes, it's weekend. Oh, no, tomorrow, actually.
Tomorrow, really? Oh, my goodness.
They took AFL's Thursday night market as well, as they keep their own Monday night market. Anyone just wants everything.
Yeah, fair enough. Matt Lodge is a player that used to play for the Brisbane Broncos.
I've heard around. Used to play for West Tigers.
West Tigers. Oh, and so now he's at Brisbane Broncos. Okay, you can tell how little I know about the NRL. But what I do know is that the footage emerged of Matt Lodge... in New York, I think it was, And it's horrific. His CCTV footage of him belting this guy, hitting him, and then he proceeded to hold them hostage,
He held the wife and the son hostage.
Yeah, so...
So this is all the way back in 2015 when he was with the Tigers. So they sacked him.
Mm-hmm.
Then he...
Rightfully so.
He later gets picked up by the Brisbane Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
And NRL of a league that constantly gets under pressure with off-field issues.
Yeah, it's like they go hand-in-hand. It's a bit of off-field controversy. It's if anything, it was probably a quiet off-season for the NRL, considering what's happened before. But should Matt Lodge be allowed to play in the NRL? Yes or no?
If he was a truck driver, he would not have got sacked. He would still be keeping his job.
Mm-hmm.
If he was a plumber, he'd be allowed to work at another plumbing industry.
Yeah.
If he was an accountant, he'd probably be allowed to work at another accountant firm.
I just don't know. I don't think it sends the right message from the NRL saying
it doesn't at all.
If you do this, this, and this. Yeah. And I don't think necessarily it would. Like, I think that more and more businesses are... holding their employees accountable for what they're doing outside of work as well, particularly on social media. But things like this, I don't think Matt Lodge should be allowed to play.
No, I 100% agree. But my point I was just making before was kind of the same thing with a lot of the, like Jordan De Goey, the Harley Pennell, drinking incidents. Mm-hmm. It's only because their profession is they're in the limelight all the time.
Yeah.
I think it's absolutely wrong what he's done.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to go and meet kids at functions. You know, kids that he held, a kid the same age as the kid he held hostage.
Yeah.
Even though this is in New York, he got arrested. He hasn't even paid his, I think it's $1 million fine he has to pay.
It's $1 million.
Hasn't paid it yet.
It's a significant fine, but I don't sympathise with him at the same time.
No, neither do I. And it's, again, kind of what I said about Fremantle with James Heard. It's the Broncos doing, they wanted to pick him up.
Yep. It's their own risk.
And yeah. So like we were saying before, the NRL season does start tomorrow night. And hope maybe the Storm can go back-to-back. The Storm has finally picked up their two flags they lost in 07 and 09 with the 2012 and their last year's flag.
Mm-hmm.
Very stiff in 2016. They should have defeated the Sharks then, which possibly could be Billy Slater. Well, I think it's pretty much given it's going to be Billy Slater's last year.
Mm-hmm.
Could also be Cameron Smith. So it's going to be a complete rehaul of the Storm after losing Inglis in 2010.
Cronk.
Lost Cronk last season. And Smith and Billy Slater on their way out.
Wow. So really all of their big four, you could say, will potentially have been gone by the end of this year.
And so most of the fans and most people know won't be there anymore, so you've got to look at new players.
Yeah. Let's jump to some cricket because the huge story that has emerged over the last few days and everyone's sort of been talking about is that of sledging, and Dave Warner and Quinton de Kock have been going at each other. On the field, there was a bit of David Warner run out A.B. de Villiers and proceeded to give him a mouthful as he walked off. It was pretty ugly. And then off the field, CCTV footage emerging of David Warner having to be restrained by his players from going up to Quinton de Kock in a staircase. What did you make of it? And did you think that any sledging that... Or do you think that it was justified from David Warner?
If you look at it, I'll give an example. I know Kane Corns came out yesterday, talked about what he had, and when someone said, you should be home with your dying son.
Very rough.
Kane Corns didn't snap or punch the guy in the face. He was probably, wanted to, and he said he probably did.
He said he still does.
But you're talking this guy from another country who, apart from when you play cricket, you'll never see insult your wife.
Mm-hmm.
It's not worth it.
No.
Like, what stops you from doing that in a nightclub and killing someone?
Exactly. That's the exact same thing I thought. If someone says something about you in a nightclub and you go up and can hit them, it doesn't make it any more justified.
I don't know if anyone has ever seen a photo of me. I don't look like a guy who's ever been in a fight in my entire life.
Neither do I.
So that's why I don't really see the point of violence. Maybe to defend yourself, but if someone goes, your wife's a cow, and you get annoyed about it, you're not much of a hero.
That's it. And then I also thought it was a huge dampener on what we should be celebrating as a pretty impressive win by the Australians.
Yeah, it's a good overall performance, yeah.
Mitch Stark taking 9 wickets overall was outstanding, and Mitch Marsh, there's 96 in that first innings, I thought was one of the most, almost like a cometh the man cometh the moment.
He's played very well since he's got back in, since he replaced Hanscom.
Yeah, I think he's justified his spot, and it's almost like those middle order collapses that Australia used to experience are a thing of the past.
Yeah,
now, with Sean and Mitch Marsh producing some handy
and
runs.
And Mitch Marsh got that really handy wicket that almost changed the game.
Big time.
And he got that wicket that got us over the line. Another, this is a sad note.
Mm.
If you saw the Sean Abbott incident on the weekend.
Yeah, I felt very sorry for Sean Abbott after watching that.
Oh, it's just
he had to
terrible.
Go through that all again. So Sean Abbott bowled a bouncer to Victorian batsman, who's completely slipped my mind, but clipped him on the head. And for those that don't know, Sean Abbott was the bowler that bowled the fatal delivery to Philip Hughes that struck him in the neck. So
I don't think he'll probably bowl a bouncer again.
It's pretty. It's terrible. Awfully sad, yeah. And I hope that he's okay because it's exciting cricket when you're bowling short. And as we all saw with the Phil Hughes one, it was probably a one in a million sort of situation. But on a lighter note, Dave Warner, in light of all of this, has actually suggested that he would enjoy a move into the public service. He suggested he might go into politics.
Oh, he could join Sam Newman. This is going to be lovely.
Yeah. Other than it being a terrible idea, who do you think, if you could name one sports star you would actually like to see in, maybe move to politics?
Dangerfield.
Paddy Dangerfield?
Yep. Yeah,
right.
He'd be fantastic.
Yeah. I was going to say Bob Murphy. It's probably no surprise. But, send us a text if you have a sports star that you think might be a good politician.
Yes.
On 0447 519 170. Flick us a text. Sachin Tendulkar had a stint in India. Didn't last too long. No, yeah.
I don't think he turned up to any of the hearings. I know the footy show always plays Billy Brownless when he gave that short attempt. But Tendulkar, he's like the king over there.
That's it. I think he got a lot of votes, but they didn't last too long.
We've got a text in our text line. Someone's text Hayden Crozier for Prime Minister.
I rate that.
Best hairdo of any Prime Minister, that would be, definitely.
We don't know who it's from, but I have a sneaking suspicion. It's also from Eric, who requested Bonkers earlier on the show. Eric, you're our number one listener for this week. Thanks so much, mate.
I wish I had like a tune like ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
But if you want to have a text about who should be a sports star Prime Minister, text us on 04-475-19170.
Sweet. We're going to go into our quick fire rapid wrap up because we've run out of time. Liam, you had the first one, and it's to do with the NBL.
Yes, Melbourne United has made their first NBL championship playoffs since their Melbourne Tigers days back in 2009 after defeating the New Zealand Breakers in overtime.
Correct. Here's one for you. So Australia, or the Kookaburras in the hockey, have defeated India 4-2 in the Sultan Aslan Shah Cup. They are currently undefeated, and Mark Knowles put in a goal, the first goal of the day, in what is shaping up to probably most likely be his last Aslan Shah tournament. Shaping up good for the Commonwealth Games coming up in the Gold Coast, but Kookaburras take on Argentina on Friday, which will be the real test, who are the former Olympic champs.
They also do take on Ireland tonight.
Mm.
So maybe a massive upset brewing there.
Let's hope not.
Doubt it. Oh, no, I mean, as someone has Irish heritage myself, I wouldn't be too shattered.
Fair enough.
The Socceroos have named their practice squad against Norway and Colombia.
Yeah, so it's an extended squad of about 29. Notably, is Tim Cahill still in the squad, the old boy, and Brad Harris? I've totally forgotten his name. The old keeper is in to replace Matt Ryan, who was injured.
And then first game under new coach, I can't remember his name.
Yes, Van Marwil. I know I'm going to get corrected on that. I can't pronounce his last name. And our last story, something nice to leave it with, following the tragic news that Fiorentina player Davide Astori's was obviously found dead in his apartment, but the club has agreed to extend his contract for life with the salary going to his wife and daughter, which I think was a pretty nice and touching tribute to him.
Yeah, lovely. Well, I'll say lovely, but it was a good gesture, yeah.
A very lovely gesture in light of what is an awful time. Our thoughts go out to the family and the club over in Florence. That pretty much wraps up our show on today. Thanks so much for our texts. It's been awesome. You can tune into Sports Desk on Friday. Liam's going to be backing it up with Michael.
I'm a busy man this week. Pure Liam. If you're a Liam fan, you'll be loving it.
subscribe, but you can also catch all of our shows on podcasts. Just search The Sports Desk on iTunes, whatever podcasts you use. Follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and thank you again for tuning in.
Yes, it's Sports Desk on Sin 9.7.